here today in this chapter, in these verses, because we're moving on to the ninth commandment. And as has been my custom for some time, before we get into a new commandment, I want to remind the congregation why we are here. We're here in the commandments of God, not only because we went through the Lord's Prayer and we saw that great petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and we want to understand the will of God, but also the gospel. The gospel is that Christ Jesus has saved us, and He saved us unto a work He has before prepared unto us, unto righteousness. How ought we to live? We ought to live by the gospel, and that gospel, righteousness and holiness. And so we will look today on the basis on which we will be looking at the ninth commandment. It's on the basis of God, who is truth. And there is no shadow of turning. There is no lie in Him at all. And so we come to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13. And I'll be reading all the way to 20. And so I invite the congregation, as you are able, in reverence to the Word of God, if you are able, it is our tradition to stand. So if you would stand at the reading of God's Word. "Hear ye the word of the Lord. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Father in heaven, we have heard your word read. Now bless the preaching of it. Bless this people by your Spirit, teaching them what he is teaching here in the scriptures. We pray you will do this, O God, for the sake of Christ. In his name that we pray, amen. You may be seated. I intend to preach the gospel unto you today through verses, especially 18 and 19. The theme of this sermon is one that I put in Latin because of an ancient Latin proverb that I came across in the study for this sermon. Sacrum anchorum, it means holy anchor. And I hope that you will hear today that you can have an anchor for your soul. You can have an anchor not only if you are a sinner today, but you must have an anchor as well if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a holy anchor. There's hope today for you, congregation. There's hope for every one of you. There's no exception. Each and every one of you have a hope set before you. And I would have you think about this in your life, perhaps, in the light of some stories that I read. I studied a lot about mariners, about the science of ship travel, about the architecture of ships and their anchors, and Cotton Mather, in his great work on New England, tells many stories of God's blessing of saving people at sea. And he told a particular story of four men which boats had sunk, and they were in their dinghy, and they were attempting to survive. And they have gone many days without anything to eat, and they decided that the only way to survive in the middle of the ocean where there is no hope is that one of them will have to become a meal to save the others. And so they drew straws, and there was one poor soul who was to be the meal. But no one was able to do the wicked deed of murdering him. And therefore, they remembered some of their upbringing in Christianity. And they went upon their knees and they sought the face of God. And there was flying fish that came after their prayer. Flying fish, you might see, they jump and they have this gliding mechanism. They glide and they go to another portion and dive into the water. Well, these flying fish, they dived instead of into water, into the boat. And they had a meal. They were able to go on some more days. And then they came into desperation again. They came into a state of where they thought they had no hope. They did their straws. They decided who would be the meal. Again, no one would be able to do the deed of murder. Therefore, they went to their knees and they prayed to the same Jehovah which saved them with a flying fish. And after this prayer, there was some fowl that laid upon the mast, and they were able to catch them by the wing. And they had meal to survive another day. And yet again, no hope on them in the middle of the ocean, no land to see. They're starving. They're going to die. They have straws. There's another one chosen to be a meal. No one could do the dirty deed. And therefore, they went to their knees and they prayed. And God provided some dolphins. They were able to catch a dolphin. And they described the drinking of the blood of that dolphin as something sweeter than wine after so long at sea. There's no hope upon the sea with no food and no water. And you are upon a sea today. Your life is as empty as the ocean if you have not Jesus Christ today. And if you have Jesus Christ today, the only thing holding you up from sinking into the depths is the ark of Jesus Christ. And so, children, as we look at this today, we're going to be looking at verse 18 especially and spending much time there. And you know how I want to help you remember these things. And so today I'm going to make sure, I think all the children here know their alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. And so we're going to use F, G, and H as the bottom of this message, 3 points. And so the first one I would have you to consider is flee. It is to flee. And so we're in verse 18. We're looking down on where there's this great message of who God is. And there's this grace expectation that each and every one of you ought to have a strong consolation. Children, consolation means like peace. Okay, so think about the rest of the soul where you can rest in ease. Imagine laying into the arms of your mother or your father and that consolation you have laying upon her breast. And so this is a consolation that every Christian is called to have. And you who are an unbeliever, you are called to have this consolation as well. Although it's impossible for you to have it apart from what you will be hearing here today. And so we read after this expectation of strong consolation that we are to flee who have fled. Flee! Run! There's something coming. You're in the middle of the ocean. You're in this lifeboat and you look. I want you to be upon the ocean today. I want you to look out and see the dark clouds surrounding. They're dark. They're ominous. There's an evil and it's approaching you. There is wrath to come. There is a tempest to come, and your life is not safe. You're in a little dinghy, and you will soon sink under the great waves of the wrath of God. But you see here, we're instructed how we ought to flee. What is the nature and the destination of our fleeing? And you have here to have fled for refuge. And so, children, I want to instruct you the background in regard to this. Where are you going? How are you fleeing? It harkens back to something taught in the law of Moses. If you were someone who killed someone, and it was that not on purpose, it was by accident, there was a city of refuge, and you had to flee there. You had to run there because there was the slayer. The family authorized by the judge was able to put you to death if you remained in the free city. The only way where you were untouchable, the only way where you could not be slain by the slayer, is if you went to the city of refuge. And the law of Moses told us it was this city, that city, this city, these cities and these areas of Israel. You went there, you were safe. But as soon as you left that city and you came in contact with the slayer, you could be slain. For you have killed because of your sinful negligence, because of your indiscretion. And this is the state of each and every one of us. We are a people who are indiscreet. We are a people who care so little for the Word of God. Men go out and they bleed like that dolphin bled for us to have the Word of God. And what do? We leave it upon the shelf. We care so little about it. We don't think about the beauty of having the Word of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going to some type of church that would hide it from you and say, you cannot know what it says because you're just going to become a heretic? Can you imagine that? You become a heretic by knowing the truth. It's not even logical, is it? But this is exactly where the church was for hundreds of years. And then there was a light. There was a light of the gospel where the Holy Spirit was poured out and souls once again were able to flee to a city of refuge. This refuge I would like for you to see today is one where you must go to be saved from your sins. And if you say, oh, Pastor, I'm a Christian today. I have already believed. I want to tell you this. There's so many people who believe so. There's so many people who say, I believe. I'm fleeing to a refuge. But what they do is they don't maintain that which they first received. And believe me, I'm not saying today, I believe in what is often called, and believe me, I would say it different, but maybe you've heard it in the streets of this place, once saved, always saved. And it's true. If you're elect of God, once you're converted, there's no going back. You cannot lose your salvation. However, there's so many which fool themselves into thinking they're Christians. And they say that. They say, once saved, always saved, no matter what my life looks like. But I tell you today that there is attributes of a true Christian, and he flees from his sin. He turns away from his sin. He stops loving his sin. He squashes it and he turns to God. He goes to a refuge and he doesn't leave there. As soon as you leave the city of refuge, I can tell you this, it proves you were never really taking refuge. You were a fake in the city of refuge. If you are to flee today, children, you must turn away from your sins. Flee away from your sins and run, because the storm is coming. The storm is coming. You must set your face like flint to kill your sins. Listen, you are captives to your sins. You have sold yourselves to eternal bondage. You've spoiled yourselves of all the glory God had intended in our original righteousness. You sealed yourselves up under everlasting misery, sinner. You're dead in your sins. You're guilty before God. You're under wrath, and the storm is coming. You are bound to eternal vengeance by God's wrath. But behold, there's hope in Zion. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Consider this thing. The Lord God has had compassion upon you, sinner. He has opened a way for you to escape. He's opened a way for you to flee to. Out of all of your misery, all of your sin, all of your bondage in which you have gotten into. And so, children, I tell you today, although you must flee, the text doesn't leave us there. We ought to go to refuge. And what does it say? This is the G. Grab. it says in the text, to lay hold upon. You must grab in the city of refuge. This is an act of faith. This is an act of repentance. I would consider you this. If you are in a great ship and the storm is coming, they had something called a holy anchor. They had many anchors on a ship. If you go on a great ship, you can see them. There's usually one, two, and three about. Some of them had more, but the biggest one, the heaviest one with the heaviest chain, that was called the emergency anchor. That was called the holy anchor. And there was this old proverb, which, you know, mariners were very educated individuals and they would read Latin, and they had a Latin proverb. It was Sanctam Anchram Soere. Release the holy anchor would be a direct translation, but it's this: release into the depths the emergency anchor, for we are going to die. And so the shipmates would go to this great anchor. They would lower it into the sea, and this was the anchor built and prepared to withstand the greatest tempest of the tree. There was no wind, there was no hurricane, there was no lightning or strike which could take this boat out if it had this anchor. And you can read about them today. Many of them, they even make them for out in the middle of the sea where you can't quite reach the bottom because of the trenches. And so they have this big parachute, the holy anchor of the size of a huge parachute, which attaches to the bow and keeps the ship still to brave the wind, to overpass the cyclone over top of the ship. But you see, you must grab upon the holy anchor. You must trust that it will save the ship. This was a mistake done. Perhaps you've seen or read about that perfect storm which sunk that ship, which we don't know where it's at to this day. We just know the last time it, and there was a novel written about it. There's been a movie made about it. The perfect storm. What didn't they have? They didn't have a sanctum anchor. They didn't have a holy anchor. But you today, you can have an anchor for your soul. But you must grab a hold of it. You cannot continue in your life of sin and misery thinking that the Lord will save you at the end because He's forgiving. He calls you today. Today is the day of salvation. He has set this before you. Do you see that there, children? Look at the end of verse 18. Lay hold that which is set before you. It's prepared. Children, you're in Christian families. You who are out there, sinners, you're here today because I am a gospel minister which the Lord Jesus has commissioned to put before you the gospel, the holy anchor. But you must take hold. I can set it before you, but I cannot force your hand. You must take a hold of it. If you believe in this wonderful news I'm about to tell you about, it's not good enough to hear it. It's not good enough to have an intellectual assent of it. You must grasp hold. And let me tell you something. When you grasp hold upon this anchor, you cannot be grabbing with another hand upon something else. This anchor is too heavy. This anchor has the weight to withstand the great weight of this boat, which you are living on. And you cannot do it with one hand and have, I don't know, some other anchor you think might work, or some other works you might think might work. There's no work that works except for the holy anchor. And so you must have all hands on deck upon this holy anchor at the storm of your soul. Oh, I need to tell you about this. This anchor, what it is. I have good news from heaven. The dayspring from on high have visited this undone and disgusting world. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has arrived. Will you take hold of Him today? There's been a global flood. You see it. It's a national flood in America of sin and misery. Behold the bow in the heavens. Jesus, our Messiah. The Lord God has made and established a new covenant. Not like that old covenant where we must work perfectly for salvation. But this is a new covenant. It's based on grace. It's a free gift. That's all you have to do is grab a hold of it. This is it that has driven away darkness. It's like a light that has taken away all of the darkness of the deep. The deep of your soul is dark, but it can be lightened with this new covenant, which is like a light upon the soul. This covenant is the hope of sinners, the riches of saints, the Magna Carta of the city of God. It is the forfeited lease of eternity renewed. God's deed of gift unto you. It is his inheritance which he grants unto his children. He loves sinners and he says, I will give you life today. But you must grab a hold. And once you grab a hold, there's innumerable blessings that come upon your soul. So lift your hands up when they're hanging low in your awful life, in your sin-filled life, strengthening the trembling knees. An ark has been prepared and set before you, and all that enter in will be saved. Will you grab it? Will you grab a hold of it? You will recover all that you have lost, all that you lost in your first parents, in Adam and in Eve. A ransom you will have now from death. You will be redeemed from hell. And you will be advanced to a sure and a blessed condition that your original state from which you had fallen cannot even compare to. You will have Jesus one with your soul. This is the hope of sinners. This is the inheritance of the children of God. And therefore, our text says that through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. In verse 12, we are the heirs when we set hold upon this great and mighty anchor. What is the anchor? What is this sacrum anchorum? Well, it says it there in verse 18, doesn't it? It's hope. That's our H, children. It's hope. What is hope? What is hope? The scriptures has a lot to say about our hope. And I would like to read to you from 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. And hear what it says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope is a person. But today in this text, it is given the promises here as our hope. Because you see, you have Jesus Christ through the promises of the covenant of grace. And so it's the covenant of grace which is our hope. Not because Jesus isn't our hope, but because of the way that we grab upon Jesus is we grab upon the covenant of grace. And so the hope here is the promises in the covenant of grace. The divine promises. And you can see this in the text. You can see it in the beginning of verse 18, where it talks about the two immutable things. And children, here's a memory tool for you. Think about an anchor. I research ancient anchors. And they used to make them a long, long time ago with just one tooth. You know, an anchor has the two teeth-looking things. And they used to just put one of those teeth on them. And they noticed it wouldn't catch very well. And it would often go to the side where the tooth wasn't. But you see, this is what's so beautiful. God, in his inexpressible mercy towards us sinners, he knew our weaknesses. He knew our natures. And he said, I can promise them. And if they know me, they know I'm truth. And they know that there's no lie in me. And so therefore, my promise should be enough. My promise should be enough. It will latch on to the bottom and keep hold of this ship. But because I love them so much, I want to give them a double consolation. I will not only promise by speaking my words that I will save them in the covenant of grace, that I will send a mediator for them to save them from their sins, but I also will do this. I'll swear. I'll make an oath. Because you see, you know, children, maybe you've seen it, I don't know, in some courtroom or something, they'll put the Bible on, right? And they'll make you put your hand upon the Bible, and you got to swear and say nothing but the truth, right? God did not need to swear by himself. But he loved us so much, he wanted to give us a more sure foundation of hope in the covenant promises. And so just like an anchor has two teeth, he gave us two immutable things. Children, that means unchangeable. Two unchangeable things. The promise of his word and the oath according to his name. Because he is truth, he could never lie in what he said, nor could he ever break his name, which he has sworn by. Because his name he has placed above all. He has a glorious name, and he's never going to give his glory to another. What is hope? Hope is the covenant of grace, whereby when you lay hold of this covenant, you have all that the covenant promises. And so I want you to think about this anchor for a moment. I want you to think about this hope, which you have, this double-toothed anchor of the soul. Where is it anchored to? I love what the Holy Spirit gives you here today, congregation. He gives you this picture of this anchor. And when you think about an anchor, you think about the bottom of the sea. But you see, he doesn't go to the bottom of the sea to tell you where your anchor is anchored. Instead, he goes up into the highest heavens, the very opposite place. He goes in between the veil where you have a forerunner, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone into the holy place. And for the sake of you, sinner, his blood has been shed, poured out intentionally to atone for your sins, to pay for your sins. This anchor goes up into heaven. This anchor is anchored into a place where it can never let go. At the bottom of the sea, perhaps, if you get a really strong wind, it can upturn some of the bottom of the sea, and your boat is left to be just pounded by the sea, overturned, and you're going into the cold depths of the sea unto your death. But we have a much better anchor than this. We have an anchor that is in the heavenly places, the anchor where Jesus has already gone. And therefore, if you have this hope today, if you will latch on to this agreement, to this covenant of God's giving you a gift in the person of Jesus Christ, it's sure and it's steadfast. I want to talk about this for a moment because this is emphatic in our text. In verse 18, the Holy Spirit says, you ought to have a strong consolation. The Holy Spirit said unto you now, you ought to have a sure or a strong anchor of the soul. And therefore, this text not only speaks to you, sinner, that you need this anchor of the soul, it also speaks to you, Christian. Christian, you're called to be strong. You're called to be sure. Perhaps you're struggling today in your life. Perhaps you're struggling with your sin, those secret darling sins. You are called today to overcome them with this anchor, which goes up into heaven. You can imagine it this way. This anchor is one which you are having a hold of the chain, and you're pulling yourself closer and closer to the presence of the Lord. The closer you get to heaven and heavenly mindedness, the closer you get to the strength which you are called to today. We should not be Christians that languish our whole life. We should not be Christians that stay shallow our whole life. We're called to a sureness, to an assurance of grace. And this is why Some of you have taken counseling. They tell you not to get down into the pit when you're helping someone. They say to stand at the top and to reach down and to bring them up. This is why we need strong consolation. We need strong Christians today so you can help others. So you can take those weak Christians, which are naturally in the church, they grow up in the church, and you're bringing them to a strong consolation so that they may help another. Sinner, you flee from your sin. You grab a hold upon the covenant of grace in Christ, and that is your hope and anchor of the soul, which is anchored into heaven. But believer, you must continue this fleeing. You must continue this running. You must maintain this holy anchor of the soul. Don't let it rust. Don't let the chain break down from the elements of this life. The storm is coming. You're going to weather many a tempest. Get strong in the Lord. Sure and steadfast is what you are called to today. And you know, it's almost over. You're in the ship and you want to maybe try to outrun this storm coming. You want to try to go to the left or the right and maybe get away. You might want to turn around, go the opposite way and try to run away. But I tell you, it's appointed unto every man once to die. And then comes the judgment. Are you ready? Are you ready for the wrath of God? The judgment of God is coming. The tempest is upon your soul. Today you must decide. You must decide if you will grab a hold of the sacrum. Will you take a hold of it today? The covenant of grace, a free gift of forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, where he has died and he has risen again. He's died that you may have refuge and an anchor for the soul. He has risen again that you may have strength, sureness, steadfastness, that you may help others. He has died, he's risen, and he is now gone as a forerunner into heaven. There, where you have that anchor right now. Two teeth digging into the heavenly places. The foundation for all of the love that you experience from God and all the love which flows back unto him in the person of Jesus. Do you love him today? Oh, children, I want you to come to Jesus Christ and grab a hold of him. You must grab a hold of him. You cannot wait. Grab a hold. Take a hold of him. Have him as an anchor for your soul. You must be rescued today. You must remember, Christian, that this consolation comes from the fact that Jesus has already been there. He's gone before you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That we have this wonderful anchor of the soul, this hope of the covenant of grace in Jesus Christ. I want you to flee from the wrath to come. I want you to grab a hold of that great and mighty Jesus in the covenant of grace. Oh, the promises are sweet. And the will of God towards you, Christian, immutable. But for you who are rejecting Christ, you have no sure hope. You have no anchor of the soul. You are in need today to see that when you meet him, you're not ready. The men, again, drew straws. There was one determined to be the meal, but there was none willing to do the dirty deed. So the men got down on their knees. When they got up, after petitioning Jehovah, there was no flying fish. There was no fowl of the sea. There was no dolphin. They looked at one another. Then they looked back up. It was a ship. You see, God will sustain you, Christian. He will sustain you through the difficulties of this life. That's your anchor. And right when you think you're lost, you're dead,
rescue will come.
Let us pray that God may work these things into the hearts of his people and convert those who are not yet grabbing a hold of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we love you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, that he may be our Savior. And we thank you for this great hope of all the promises of this glorious covenant. And we pray, God, that you will work these things and these promises, making them sure and our souls strong, our consolation strong, as we labor today to look at our sins, to flee from them, and then grab a hold of Christ. We pray now that you will do this work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit. I've given them the word which you have revealed, Father. Now, work it, let it not be vain. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We will be responding to the word preached with Psalm 31, selection.